And this mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. This mountain shall be removed. By my spirit saith the Lord.
God bless you all. Quick little word here about the PowerPoint's going to be projected, has the lyrics, so you can help us sing. But also in the background, you'll see the pictures of our testimonies over the years that my family and I have been through a lot, that the Lord has been there for us, and that's what this song is about, that God is with you in the fiery trials. Right. And there's some pictures in there, Bible scenes, but most of them, or at least half of them, are our family going through trials, and the Lord's been there for us. And just to explain what some of those are, if you don't remember the Goliath tree that I testified about, that was a big 100-foot-tall hickory that was threatening to fall in our house years ago, and I spoke to the tree and said, when you fall, fall this way. And later on, the storm came, and it fell exactly that way. And Gabby was also testifying to the kids that it would fall away from our house. And then also pictures in there of Iva and Eula with the seizures they had, and how the Lord was there for us during that time. There's also a picture of the map, the storm, the tornado kind of map, I guess you call it, where in Kentucky a little over a year ago, we were there during all those tornadoes, and they were all around us. People were dying. I was laying there asleep. I didn't even know. So the Lord protected us and all that. And then some other pictures in there. But the most important lesson I learned from that trial with Iva, I think, when she was dying at 3 days old, is that not to question God, where are you at? Because that was the last time I ever said that. I said, God, where are you at? I knew he was real. I knew he's been with us, but it's like things were happening that seemed like he was just letting it go on, and we didn't sense his presence there. So even when you don't know the Lord's there, he's with you. Forgot my pick. Be right back.
There's a grace when the heart is under fire. Another way when the walls are closing in. When I look at the space between where I used to be and the strength of me, I know I will never be alone. There is another in the fire. Another in the waters, holding back the seas. Should I ever need reminding of how I've been set free? There is a cross that bears the burden, where another died for me. There is There's another in the fire. On my deadlift, dead beneath the waters, I'm no longer a slave to my sin anymore. And should I fall in the space between what remains of me and this reckoning, I know I'll never do things of this world. The grave that holds no body. Now the power lives in me. There's another in the fire. Oh, there is another in the fire. Oh, there is another.
Nice when you give it that extra zazz, I guess you could say. Yeah. With little slides and everything.
And
You know, I couldn't help to think, you know, Brother Ryan, he always mentions his daughter, always mentions the testimonies. It's almost like he's told the Lord, Lord, as long as I live, I'm going to always testify. These are blessings. Those are blessings for him and his family. He has the right to testify and thank God. Amen. Do we thank him that way, you know? Do we thank him enough? We got so much to thank him for. Praise the Lord. Sister Lily, you want to sing tonight? Okay, come on. I'm not sure, because the Bonnets family was the ones that I had on the list. So, but if you prepared yourself, that's fine.
I didn't write it down. I keep forgetting. But if everyone could keep my sister, Rebecca, in their prayers. She originally was having a lot of pain a few months ago and thought it might have been a hernia. But she went to the doctor, found out it was swollen lymph nodes. And so she got a biopsy, I believe, Monday. And they said she thought it was just one, but then they told her it could be 4 to 5. Swollen lymph nodes, and they said it could just be an infection, but it could be lymphoma. So they tested her, and she said she doesn't know when she'll get the results back, but we believe in miracles. So. Trying not to cry now. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. We're standing on holy ground, for the Lord is here, and where he is holy. This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground.
Let's just continue to sing that as Brother Wade comes. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Praise Jesus now.
Sing it to him.
Oh, we are standing in his presence on holy.
Sing it to him again.
Oh, we are standing.
Brother Brown said it wasn't the mountain that was holy. It was the people on the mountain. So if it's holy ground, it's because you're standing on it. Man, you love the Lord? Good to be back. Good to be here with all of you again. One more time in the house of the Lord. We had a wonderful time in Ohio. We got to get a little surprise snow for the wedding. Some of you saw those pictures, but hey, 2 inches of snow to them is, it's like a good rain down here. They don't stop for anything. So we appreciate them and thank you for praying for us. Remember, the prayer service will be this coming Saturday at 7 o'clock. No Bible study, but prayer service from 7 to whenever. Doors will be open at 7, and we will have prayer service for the coming youth service in a couple of weeks. That will be on March the 18th. Brother Jack Duff, he's excited to come. He hadn't seen us in a long, long time, and I don't think he's ever been here to preach. But he really reveres Brother Dale and his ministry, and appreciate the opportunity to come. So we're going to have him do our youth service at 3 o'clock on Saturday on March the 18th. And then he'll be preaching one service for us on Sunday. So just keep that in your prayer. Keep all the sick that's home and coughing and hacking, and the ones here too. We're just going to pray that the Lord will take that away. And I think one thing's for sure. I think maybe back in the 70s or early 80s, somebody came out with music on the television. It was called MTV. We got message television. MTV. You started something, Brother Ryan. Now I guarantee you somebody else is going to pick that up, and they're going to have the message television. I don't mind them. That other mess that's outside, I don't want. But to have something like that for an impact to show that there is another in the fire. There's somebody there to stand with you. The fourth man in the fire. And that's a little bit kind of what we're going to still get on to tonight is justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the Word. So it's four. The number four is not bad when you put it to the earth to redemption. Because everybody knows there's one thing for sure. We want and have to be redeemed. We want to be redeemed. We don't, there is not a, I was looking up the word just a minute ago. I've been talking about a plan. and you got a plan. God's got a plan. Brother Ram said God had a plan and a purpose. A plan is a method of achieving an end. You say, oh, well, I don't mean God. Yeah, this thing's going to end. Let me tell you something. Sin's got an expiration date. Amen? This worldly knowledge, all your sickness, all your sorrow, all your pain, all everything you got has an end. Amen? Yeah, well, give me one to God. But sin has an expiration date. Just think about that. But you don't, and God don't. He never has, and he never will. God said it, and that's the way it's going to be. Like I said many times before, if God loved you in the beginning, Brother George, he's got to still love you because he can't change his mind. He has no ups and downs. You and I have the ups and downs, but there is a method or a plan of achieving that end. What? The end of all things. The end of all things here for us to go and bring glory into view and bring the eternal part to all of us, even to the earth. All right? I like that. A plan is a detailed formulation of a program of action. God formulated a program, and it's not going to change. It was the perfect one to begin with. We've just got to do what? Connect ourselves to it. If we don't connect ourselves to it, we're not part of the plan. We got to become part of the plan by the new birth, so that we can even understand this thing called a plan and a purpose. Amen. So let's bow our heads. And I know we all have requests on our heart. Let's pray for these ones that are really sick. I really burdened in our heart when we started hearing today of all the ones that were sick and couldn't get here tonight. We appreciate the ones of you that did. And we're going to pray now for the ones that can't. And we're going to pray that everything will be fine. They'll be back on Sunday. So let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this evening that you give us. Lord, the middle of the week, Lord, just give us a rejuvenation of in our spirit realm, Lord. Father, we know that the soul is set on fire by the new birth and it's continually burning, but our spirit needs a little bit of extra. Lord, our memory, reason, conscious effects, and imagination should be turned towards you, Lord. And we'll give you, Lord, the praise and honor and glory for this whole service. We yield ourselves to you, Lord, and we pray that you would just bless us now as a congregation. Lord, be with the ones that are sick that can't be with us tonight, Lord, and the ones that are watching in. Lord, thank you so much for technology that we can get to the ones that want to sit and listen and hear about you. Father, we ask you to forgive us of our sins and our many mistakes, Lord, that we make, to sanctify us for this journey or this plan that we're talking about. Lord, keep us clean, because we know there's one thing for sure. Satan wants to dirty everything he can. But, Father, you gave us clean water. You gave us washing of the water by the Word. And that Word's what's going to keep us clean if we'll just attach ourselves to it, Father. I pray now that you'd be with us in the further of the service in Jesus' name. Amen. We're on Son of Man, Part 91. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God. The Word was God. And that Word was made flesh. There had to come a time when God, Father, Jehovah, Elohim, Theophany God had to become flesh because he couldn't know how that we live without him living with us. All right. But he dwelt with us and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We saw. Did you see it? No, but we saw by the eyes of faith. We see by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We see by all the disciples and all the ones that wrote down what Jesus acted like when he was on the earth. And that's what we have to do, is act according to that. Full of grace and truth. 2 Peter 1:5. We'll try to get to patience tonight. Just have patience, please. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. In Luke 21:19, Jesus tells us this, in your patience, possess ye your soul. You may be seated, and the Lord adds blessing to the reading of the Word. In your patience, possess ye your souls. But it's got to take us a time, because that plan, any good plan has a beginning and any good plan has an end. And then all the way in between, there might be sometimes that in a football plan, they formulate a plan and they're like, this is what's going to happen and we're going to run the ball because they're not going to be able to stop us. And then they get up to about the second quarter, Brother George, and they can't run 2 yards. The defense has just picked up on what they're doing, and they have to what? Change their plan. But God doesn't do that. God's not one to get in the middle of the plan and say, oh, sorry, we'll go this other way. No, this is his plan. What we have to do as human beings is we have to get into that plan. All right? We don't have to just listen to it. We have to be a part of that plan. Because the plan and purpose was what? Us to go back to the Garden of Eden condition. That's what we're looking at now. And only by the Word of God can we do that. Oh, by the way, Brother Tim said to tell you, thank you for the weekend. I think yesterday or the day before we conversed, texted each other, and he said he really had a good time, and I appreciate it. I watched a good bit, most of it, not all of it yet, but a good bit of it, and he did a good job. He's grown a lot in grace and knowledge himself. He's got a little bit bigger, too. Bless his heart, I'll tell him. Let's see. So anyway, you can tell him if you see him first, okay? But let's pull his heart up, and we're all getting that way. June and I are on Weight Watchers now, so we're gonna start losing some weight. Bless our heart. I'm not going to be like Brother Dale always said about Aaron. He's just going to be hard to rapture because there's a lot of you to rapture. You know, so. Oh, I'm sorry. You're supposed to look like this way. You turn like this, and you look like the rest of them. But as I said before, our soul is redeemed. Our soul is, that's the firing mechanism that even, it'll fire you in faith and it fires you in doubt. In other words, you're moving and breathing and looking and conversing and listening all by your soul. That's the real you. The real you is the soul, not the spirit. The real you is the soul. Now, the soul then what? It goes and the soul is the nature of the spirit. So whatever that nature shows in the spirit realm is what you have in your soul. All right, but we still have problems. We still have our own ideas, our own wants, our own things in the spirit realm to where God can use your imagination and so can Satan. God can use your conscience and so can the devil. But God can't use your soul and Satan use it too. Right. You're either born again or not in your soul. So there's faith or doubt. That's it. Right. There's no gray area. There is a walk in the Lord through justification and sanctification. But when you get to sanctification, if you stop there, that unclean spirit's going to go right back in that little hole right here. It's going to go right back in that little hole right there. And it's going to make you worse because it's going to give you a religious spirit. Then all this is going to act religious. That's why Brother Brown said you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost every day of your life on your spirit realm right here. And die and go to hell because that man right there is one that's going to be judged. Not this guy and not this guy. You're not going to be judged. Your flesh is not going to be judged. The Bible says it's the soul that sinneth, it will surely die. All right? So that's what we're looking at. So we're out in the spirit realm now. This is the statue of perfect man. I wanted you to kind of back up just a minute. Let's look. I was thinking about it the other day. That's your walk with God. We know that. But that is the absolute characteristics of Jesus Christ. His spirit was the Holy Spirit. So now what's happening to me and you is that Holy Spirit has went into our soul to give us a new birth, make us God made manifest in another form, make us the Word made flesh, and then we have, because of our carnal nature, our imagination, conscious memory, reason, and affection is working against us. Contrary, the Bible says, to God. Now, you were contrary to God in your soul, but now we're born again. All right, we're born again. We have the fire of God. Listen, we got the fourth man in the fire. He's not just in the, he's not just in there with us. He's inside of us. All right, and it's burning, and it should be able to display itself a little bit more. We just need to let it out. Somebody ought to say that. And then into our spirit realm is where this is going to be working. All this, we've already been faith, virtue, and up to knowledge. Now we'll look at something in just a minute about knowledge. We've got to have knowledge that this thing's right. We've got to have the knowledge of God that this thing, I say this thing, this message, the plan that we see, there's a plan out in the denominational world. They have a plan. But their plan is to go to judgment. Their plan is to go to 7 years of tribulation. Their plan is, I ain't perfect and you ain't perfect. Their plan is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is the way to baptize. But that's not the plan of God. That's the plan of the devil. But they're what? They're accepting that plan because sometimes they don't even know any different. I was talking to a couple of people in Ohio just coming into the message, and some had been away from the message, or one brother, and he's coming back, and there was a lot of questions. I can't stand, in my righteous indignation, I guess, where you've got ministers and preachers that if somebody's a little bit different in your church, they just throw you out. Y'all been gone a long time ago. That's what Brother Dale said. And Aaron said, amen. We're all different. But being the economy of God, we have differences. We have differences of spirits. We have not spirits as far as out there, but spirit of discernment, spirit of faith, spirit of speaking in tongues, spirit of interpretation, spirit of wisdom. Like we've been speaking before, there's spirit of wisdom to come into the church. We'll talk about that maybe a little bit more. I want to break this down a little more in knowledge. Because if we don't know that we know that we know, if we don't know that this is it, nothing else, this is it. There's no other message coming. There's no other method or no other plan. This is it. And if we don't get into it, we're out of it. Just like the inside man, faith or doubt, that's it. And that's the plan of God, is what? To get you born again and then add to your new birth. Our minister nourishment, as Brother Tim was speaking this weekend, you know, bringing the believers in and all the different things. There's a lot of people believe a lot of things, but there's got to be true believers. Because I'll promise you, a good Catholic will fight you. Because they believe what they believe. But remember, the prophet of God said you can be sincere, but you can be sincerely wrong. Well, now listen, we can't plead that ignorance here. We can't plead that ignorance in this message. We've got the truth. And the Bible says the truth will set you free. Why is it binding people? Why is it making people have problems and issues and all these things? Can't get to church. Can't do this. Can't do this. Can't do that. Have you ever thought about this? I'm going to go ahead and say it. I got it at the end of the sermon. But you know, we talk about all this. We talked of it before about how your confession, when you confess something, you know, in the Old Testament, the high priest would take the blood and Urim Thummim had all 12 tribes, all 12 stones was on that breastplate. So what he was doing is one man was walking into the Holy of Holies representing Naphtali, Levi, all the different ones. He was taking that in and representing every one of them for their sin. And he was doing the confessing for the people. You understand what I'm saying? Everybody from Naphtali might have had this. Might have been a drunk. This would have been a whoremonger. This would have been this. This would be that. He didn't have to list that. In the Old Testament, the requirement was that he would go in and say, Lord God, Jehovah, I have done here 7 times what you told me to do. And now we are doing everything you said. Now I am going to go tell the children of Israel, when that thing lights up and you accept that blood, he's going to walk out and say, for one more year, you're forgiven. So he was the high priest of their confession. Not knowing every confession they had, but he confessed that he had all 12 tribes and he brought them in under the blood. And then he gave it to God and said, God, you said this was going to be enough to cover their sin for one more year. And God says, I accept that because that's the way it was in the Torah. When I told Moses to do what he's doing, right? What about me and you? The high priest, Caiaphas, and all the different ones, Aaron. They weren't saved. They were only confessing what you said. Jesus can't be no different. Have you ever thought about this? If you confess God is your high priest that takes that confession and takes it to God and says, God, you said if I would die for these people. We know there's not two different people, but we're in an act of a play. All right? He takes those sins and he takes them before the Father and he said, they have confessed their sin. They have confessed that by my stripes they were healed. You said that. You said you would heal them. You said you would save them. We have a high priest, as the Bible says, that can go before God with a confession. Now, do you know what he can't do? I can't go up that statue of perfect man. I don't know what he's talking about. I don't know. I can't get this. I can't go to church. I get all these problems, and I got bills, and I got this, and I got that. You know, Jesus Christ, Almighty God himself, cannot take that confession to God. Ah, he never will take a negative confession to the Father. Come on, people. Good Lord. Now stop then. Stop confessing negative. Stop. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're standing there with one day left to live. I still say, Jesus Christ, you said you'd heal me. Please take that to the Father. And we know, listen, we know it's not Trinitarianism, but it is a way of getting to God, right? Only way to the what? Father is through Jesus Christ. So Jesus takes your confession. You know what? He can't go and do say one thing. If you say something negative, he can't take that to the Father. He's the high priest, though, of your confession. You confess. I confess that we can make it up this statue of perfect man. I confess that these things are working in our church. They're working in our life. They're working in our ministry. They're working in our job. They're working in our families. I can see it. Working. But what do you confess? Just wowsy, wowsy, woo. Jesus Christ has never took wowsy, wowsy, woo to the Father. Amen? Think about that next time we start. I always called it being bucket mouth. You know, get that old bucket and fill it full of just junk. Don't be bucket mouth. God can't. He can only go by your confession. Think about that. He cannot take a negative confession to God. I can't. Never has went before the Father. Now I can't went from you to Jesus Christ, but he's never took that confession to the Father. So who stopped it? Jesus? No, you did. You stopped it. This is not the power of positive thinking. This is what God told us to do. He said, come boldly before the throne of grace. He said, I am the high priest that can be touched by the feeling of your infirmities, that knows that he was one time spirit God that could not feel pain, but he became a human so that he can feel pain. He became the Son of Man so he could die for me and you. He became the Son of Man so he could take the stripes for me and you. And he could take the nails and he could die for me and you. Amen? So let's quit doing this negative stuff. Your confession will never go to God. Negative confessions never will make it to God. Praise the Lord. One day y'all gonna get happy about stuff. And I hope it just don't just explode. Brother Brown tells us, let's continue on. But that's what we're looking at. Our soul, that's the ark. What was in the ark? What's in that ark? The Word of God. The Word of God and two tables of stone were placed in that ark, and that's what God would. You had to go into that ark, spread the blood, sprinkle the blood, and then that's how you talk to God. Not you, but the high priest talked to God is through that ark because it was whatever God put in there. Remember, we went to it before, the Word of God, the rod that budded, and something else was in there. I can't remember now, but, oh, the shewbread. So that was all what God said to put in there. He put it in there. Aaron and whoever the high priest said, well, I'm going to go in, and this is what you told me to do, Lord. If you told me to do this, you'll forgive their sins. Well, let's do the same thing. Jesus Christ, you told me you'd forgive me of my sins. Jesus Christ, you told me you'd heal me. You told me you'd deliver me. You told me you would help me up this statue of perfect man. Now, I take that before the Father. Oh, you take that before the Father and let him confess a positive confession. So now let's get started. Everybody with me? Positive confession. Everybody all right with that? Think about that. We stop our own self. We know that. But in that analogy, you see how you stop yourself. Why am I not getting anything? You're not approaching right. Your approach is not right to God. All right, let's go here and look at this. They got it over there. Okay. I won't need the chart anymore if you want to pull them back up over there. We appreciate everybody in the back doing their job. And the ones that are standing in for the ones that are not here tonight, we really appreciate that. Now, what was Brother Randall? We're talking about this plan, the prophet of God. What was he here to do? He wasn't here to make a bride. Brother Brown didn't come to make a bride. There's bride down through the church ages, many, many more than is going to be in the message. Brother Brown didn't come to tell us that there's a new way of getting born again. He came to tell us what the Word said straight out of God's mouth is what he came to tell us. And then we keep getting out of line. And as we see this analogy for Brother Brown, it's not an analogy, it's a vision. That he saw that they were doing good. You know, the first group came by. Then the middle group came by. And the middle group was just naked and prancing around the worldly church. And he was like, oh my God, is this all I've done? Is this all I've got? But the angel says, look, that bride's going to come back again in the end time. In other words, she's coming in the end time as the Omega bride. But the bride comes twice. The church comes one time. What are you telling us this for? There's our preview. Remember, the first preview of the bride was the early church age. Amen? That was these virtues. Listen, folks, this is not new. 2 Peter wrote it 2,000 years ago. It just took a prophet to put it together so that we can live it. They lived those in the first church age. They didn't need a quote book or a statue of a perfect man message. They listened to Peter. They looked at James. They looked at John. They looked at Peter. They looked at their lives. They said, oh, they've got brotherly kindness. They've got godliness. They've got patience. And then one day, Peter sits down with inspiration. He says, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to your knowledge temperance, patience. Well, they didn't listen to that. The bride became a church to a degree. Through the ages, through the dark ages. But again, here comes the second bride. The bride comes in twice, see right here, not knowing it, but look at my message this morning. He's talking about the bride. The seed fell in the ground at Nicaea. That was the original seed. And she come through the process of these denominations, which, look, only comes into existence once. Remember Brother Brown said, you ever denominate, you die. You denominate, you die. So you're dead. And they're dead. They're not coming back. Listen, all that's going on in Asbury and all the different places, praise God. Because listen, if somebody gets healed, if somebody gets saved, if somebody tries to live a better life, praise God. If it'll fill a church up, praise God. But they don't have the full Word of God. They do not have the completeness of the second bride that we're talking about here. This is the completeness of the second bride. That's the reason she was reviewed the second time. See, when Brother Branham came on earth, when the message came, let's just put it that way, when the message came, and Brother Branham started revealing the mysteries of God, 1963, the seals and different ones, statue of perfect man, seeds not air with a shuck, serpent seed, and all the restoration of the bride tree, all these different ones. What was he doing? He was clearing away all of that junk that was in the Middle Ages, the church. Because remember, he didn't call us church anymore. He called us bride. And as Brother Tim was saying this yesterday or Saturday, Sunday, that girl that was the armor meatpacking girl, those other three got a blessing. They loved that guy. They loved it. They were happy. They wanted to get ready, but there was only one got a message. One got a promise, I'm coming back for you. I'm not coming back for them three. I'm not coming back for a trinity. I'm coming back for one. Amen. And you know what? He did. That's what I'm going to say today. He did. Everything he said he'd do, he did, and he will do. And she was perfectly the second time like she was the first time. Oh, God, have mercy. Hurry, hurry, life, get in the grain right quick. All others never appeared no more. They went out never to come back again. But the bride came back because she was Alpha and Omega. God the great sculptor. Remember the plan. The plan master. He was making a masterpiece. Listen, you can't be a masterpiece and be false. You can't be a God masterpiece and be false. Amen? The only thing with the analogy of the Michelangelo was that the flaw made it the masterpiece. Well, that flaw was our flesh. But once you get rid of that, we are the total masterpiece of God. There's not a piece missing anywhere. He's made him a masterpiece, for it's a piece of his own, or his first masterpiece. Restoration of the bride tree. We'll talk about four messengers. We'll get through that real quick. Because we know if we've been here long enough, we've got enough knowledge, we know that there was four death messengers that killed this tree and four life messengers that brought it back. What was the first? Martin Luther, justification. Sanctification. This is coming up to that second preview of the bride. Everybody with me? This is coming up to that second preview of the bride. All right. What was the third? Pentecost, with the restoration of the gifts, the Holy Ghost, baptism of the Holy Ghost. What was the fourth? The Word. The Word. All right. There were four great prophets. One of them, Martin Luther, began to shine light. There was a little light, very small strength of justification. But listen, they were bride, but they had a little piece missing out. A couple of pieces, a couple of doctrines of water baptism, a couple of doctrines of probably, well, they did believe in eternal hell. They took a lot, Luther took a lot of those Catholic doctrines. You know that. But he came out of that, though, and God shined a light on Luther. Then Wesley said, no, it needs to be stronger than that, Brother Luther. We can't sit in a pub anymore and drink beer and talk about God. We got to come out of that, all right? We got to come to sanctification, cleanness set aside for service. Then after Wesley comes stronger than him, Pentecostal, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. In other words, what? And another great prophet, the gifts came into the church. The Holy Ghost fell on 1906 Azusa Street, and there was a revival. A revival of the gifts. It was bringing the gifts back into the church. But in the last day of Malachi 4, Elijah is to come with the very word of God. Because remember, back down here where we just talked about Pentecostals, they were Trinitarians. They still had a piece missing. They believed in the Trinity. They believed in Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism. Pieces missing. Listen, we got to get the pieces back together. We got to get the, Brother Ram called them loose ends. In other words, there was a strand of doctrine that was in God's mind that was totally pure. And man comes and starts cutting pieces out of it. Well, here comes the prophet of God and he starts putting the pieces back together. Here comes Elijah going to build his, what? To build the altar back together to tell us how to get to God. Not just tell us how to get a new birth. That's been preached since Martin Luther. I believe Martin Luther preached, the just shall live by faith. But he preached, hey, you got to be born again. You got to be changed. You got to come out of that Catholic system. Wesley said, you got to be born again, plus you got to live it. You can't go in a pub. Can't do what you used to do. Then the baptism of the Holy Ghost, listen, it cleaned a lot of people up. It gave them the Holy Ghost. And it just not just give it to their soul. It anointed their flesh where they'd speak in tongues. Great mighty miracles was going on during that time. All right? So that was, and then see, then Brother Branham had a platform to step out on. God, with the gift of God that he had, he would have never lasted in Wesley or Luther's age. They couldn't have took it. But coming out of the Pentecostal realm, they came with him. Well, some did. Some stayed there. But he said the Pentecostals are the only ones that would what? That would claim him, in other words. In other words, that would let him preach. He didn't preach in many Wesleyan churches. He didn't preach in many Methodist churches because they didn't want him anymore because of his doctrine. But in the last days, the evening light is to come forth to restore and bring back, turn the hearts of the children. We've been preaching on that a long time ago. Four killers took it. Four messengers destroyed it. Or the messenger of the devil destroyed it. And then four measures of righteousness restored her back again. Prophesy, son of man, can these bones live? Look, the life only come. Remember, there was all the stages of putting this together and putting that together. And they were there, but they weren't moving. They had no life in them. You and I, listen, let's don't let Satan suck the life out of us. He's sucking the life out of some of us. He can't do that anymore. We rebuke him in the name of the Lord Jesus. Take that to the profession of the Father. That we're not going to cower down to that anymore. But the life only come not when the sinew skin was on it, but when the wind blowed on it. That's when come back that fourth message of life. I will restore, saith the Lord. Praise God. The fourth light is to come. Who is he talking about? His message. The fourth was the word itself. The word made flesh. Fruits of the proof of the resurrection, a sign that Christ has finally, look, finally, after justification has been planted, sanctification has been planted, baptism of the Holy Ghost, organizations died out. You know what? Not one organization quit while Brother Brown was alive, and not one organization has quit since. They have absolutely multiplied. So that means only a certain group of people is going to ever hear the true message of the hour. All right? Organizations died out, and Christ has again centered himself like the cap of the pyramid. Look at the top. First line, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, then coming of the cap. What is it? That Holy Ghost bunch being honed. See the Holy Ghost up at the top? That's not the baptism of the Holy Ghost to make you born again. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost to put you into a powerhouse of God. It'll fit with the same kind of ministry he had when he went away. Now listen, the same kind of ministry that when Jesus left 2,000 years ago, that ministry has never hit the earth like it was then until now. Right. Now it has. That's why it's called the Son of Man in the end time. Right. It was God made manifest in a form called Jesus. Now it's God made manifest in a form called a bride. Right. That we have his mind. We have his, as Brother Ram says, his potential. We don't, listen, we don't have the potential to preach the truth. We have the truth. Listen, God is not wisdom. He's not getting wisdom. He is wisdom. He's not getting faith. He is faith. God's not getting anything. Me and you are the ones that are supposed to be getting it. When he comes back, it'll catch the whole thing in a rapture. Justified, sanctified, baptism in the Holy Ghost, that pyramid will stand again. I believe today it's standing today. If you'll realize where you are and why you're here and why you're listening to the Word of God like you are or not, you get both. The house of God will live again. The tree of life is growing again. This kind of struck me a few minutes ago. I read it a long time ago, and I read it again. There was a man in Ezekiel that had a line in his hand. And he went eastward. Direction means a lot. Amen. Who's coming from the eastern gate? Who's coming from the east? All right. He measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. In other words, he stepped a little bit further out. Brother George, it was to his ankles. He could walk. He could still have issues going on in the upper parts of his body. But he didn't stop. He brought me through the water, and the waters were to the knees. Little bit more. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through, and the water were to the loins. Oh, it's getting where you can swim now. You couldn't swim in that ankle-deep water. You couldn't swim in the knee-deep water. Kind of hard for Brother Donnie to swim in water up to the loins. He needs one about 10 foot deep for him to get in and get wet. But the water was to the loins. And look, afterwards he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over. Right. Now remember, let's connect this to the dream that Sister Shepherd had. What was the dream about? It was about water. It was about her asking God if she was born again. And God showed him a great pyramid. And Brother Brown was on top. He cut the top out of it. He had a box sitting up there. Remember, he poured honey and wouldn't keep water. But once he got it to keep water, what was it? The water came out and went down and went through Sister Shepherd into her feet. So that's the way me and you with this statue of perfect man. Listen, it's a river. And it says, I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in. A river that could not be passed over. And watch what he said, Son of Man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return back to the river. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost to the loins. He said, hang on a minute. We got something else to do. So he said, go back. Now, we don't go backwards in God, but what's he trying to bring? He's bringing the Word. He's bringing the Word of God. So watch. I just kind of caught this the other day, and I wanted to kind of share it with you. Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. So he caused him to come back to where he started. How many times have we said justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then you got to come back and go through justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, then you got to come back and go through justification, sanctification. The higher form of justification, higher form of sanctification, that's the higher form of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's what he's telling us right here in this vision. Now, I returned at the bank of the river. There were many trees. There was life on that river. There was life in the Word of God. Then he said unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert. How many of you been in the desert before? But it's coming through your desert and going to the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, remember what's the fourth stage? Life. Breathe. That everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. Get in the Word of God and you will live. Amen. Then it talks about a great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither. What? Huge. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. Everywhere that river's at, there's a river of life flowing out. What? From me. Make the lame to walk and the blind to see. Wow. Listen to this. I'm trying to get you to a point. This is what the statue of perfect man. It's not just that you need to get this and you need to get this. We need to live a better life. It's the plan of God. And we cannot go around it. We got to go into it. The reason they call Jesus Beelzebub a devil, because you see, he could discern the thoughts of their mind. See, but he was the Word of God. And Hebrews 4 said, the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, even discerning of the thoughts. We're going to get to knowledge, maybe. See, he was the Word, the living Word. Now watch. He was the living Word, comes into who? Us, and does the same thing. Has the same effect on us. When are we going to realize that? The Lord Jesus never took a negative confession to the Father. It does the same effect on us. See, same, because it's the same Word. It's the same thing among us, and that's the way. Sometimes those who are not in that bracket speak with tongues and another one interprets. What is it? The Word made flesh again among us. Christianity versus idolatry, 1961. We are made partakers of His holiness. We, in His image, we are living images of a living God. Then dead to self, raised with Him. Now listen, His Word made flesh again in us. Oh, Brother Neville, look, what is it? Not the mythical, imaginary God sitting out there, but the living God. What is the living God? The Word in you, making itself real. Woo! Glory to God. Oh, I know you think I'm a holy roller. Maybe I am. But brother, do you see it? Triumph over every denomination. Triumph over all paganism. A living God made manifest in a living temple. And everybody's going, yes, we know that's you, Brother Branham. Yes, we know that's you, Brother Branham. Yes. Oh, yeah, the great mighty signs and wonders and miracles. Yes, Brother Branham, and we can't do it, so we're going to have to wait on you to come back. Baloney. Amen. That's not the Word of God. Ain't going to happen. If you wait till Brother Ram gets here, you're lost. Because when he gets here, we're already sealed in. We don't need another sealing. We're already sealed in. And the Word of God, which is God, look, the Word of God, which is God, is made flesh in who? You. Why? You're seated in heavenly places, triumphed over all things in Christ Jesus. Now, that was 1961. What about 2023? We've got to have more fervor. We've got to have more. You say, oh, five. No, peace with God. Like we're going to talk in a minute, maybe patience with God. That's what Brother Brown said. First thing to do, have patience with God. Not have patience with you, brother. Have patience with God. I like what Brother Brown said. He said, you know, they come up to Noah and they locked him in there for 7 days. God did, and said, go get an ark. It's going to rain. Number day, number six. He's like, come on. Noah, Daddy, you, it ain't looking good. Ain't a cloud in the sky. You said it's going to rain. He said, God said so, and that's what's going to happen. Amen. And guess what it did? It happened. Tell me, my brother, my sister, when was the time that the sons of God was ever to be made manifest outside of this time now? Amen. Right now. Right. When was there ever a time in history that manifests the time to deliver all nature? Nature, the nature itself is groaning, waiting for the time of manifestation. You heard about that other earthquake in Turkey again, another one, right, one right after the other. It's because the world's waiting on me and you. The world is feeling the pull, and it's pulling this thing apart. But with me and you, though, it's pushing us back together. Because we're pressurized for this time. Or either we are or we're not. Why? Before the atonement was made, before the Holy Ghost was ever poured out, all the Old Testament on down, there couldn't have been manifestation. Wow. That's a mouthful, Brother George. Think of Moses. Noah. Enoch, Isaiah, David, all these great men that we revere in the Old Testament, they couldn't manifest the sons of God like we did. No, that's what it says. It had to wait till this time. Now, all things has been brought, coming, shaping up to a headstone, to the manifestation of sons of God coming back. And the Spirit of God coming into what? These men. Not in these buttons. Everybody get that? Amen. Press play. Until their ministry will be so close like Christ that it'll join him and his church together. There's a ministry being preached now. That's bringing us together. And then this thought just come rolled to me. I had that quote the other day, but this one come right behind it. I was thinking about it yesterday. Watch this. We love to preach about the seals. We know what the seals are. We have knowledge of what they are. But do you know when they're going to break? Well, we know when the sixth seal is going to break. The sixth seal is going to break in its natural form when the two prophets are over in Israel and they're going to call down fire, earthquakes, whatever they can do. But remember, there's a sixth seal sanctification that's got to come to me and you before our body is changed. And it will change our body. That sixth seal, a disruption of nature. What do you think this is? You got some virtue, but it ain't godly. I'm just saying. Right. You got some knowledge. Listen, we're full of knowledge. Amen. Amen. If I had my phone, I'd show you. You pull up any word you want to, and there it is. Yeah. Right. Quick knowledge, too. Not one, well, I mean, I got to get home, and I'll look at the computer. And no, it's in your phone. Actually, it's in Donnie's watch right there on his arm. Mm-hmm. So we got plenty of knowledge. I don't know about temperance. But we do have some certain ones of these. Godliness. Listen, Luther was a godly man. Wesley was a godly man for his time. Smith Wigglesworth. Just name all the ones that are not Brother Branham. Because we always put him up, you know. And that's okay because we do. But there's all these other great men that were great, but they didn't have everything together. You and I have everything together because the sixth seal is going to open with two prophets over there. But when's the sixth seal going to open to me and you? It's going to open on this side. And the opening of the sixth seal is a disruption of nature. It takes your nature, what you're comfortable with. It's going to take what you're comfortable with and tear it out and throw it away. Smash it. Tell you it's wrong. Tell you not to hate your neighbor. Tell you not to hate your brother if you spoke bad of. Folks, that's against your nature. Being patient is against your nature. Laodicea is against your nature. Prophet of God tells us his power over the waters, turn them to blood, smite the earth with plagues. That was Moses. What is it? What can bring these things to? Look, what can bring these things but what? The Word. Right? The Word. The Word's the only thing that's going to bring us back to this. The Word's the only thing that's going to cause. We were talking, we had a real good time, and we had some questions and answers on Sunday about different things, about earthquakes and stuff, and resurrection. Listen, when we come to the end of this thing, I just believe that, according to Brother Branham, if they're going to have the sixth seal open in its natural form, then we're going to have a sixth seal open in the spiritual form, and we're going to be able to maybe have a hamburger when we need it. And ain't got no money to pay for it. Listen, we already know that happens. Go talk to Brother. Go talk to, good grief. What's the black brother used to go to church here?
Harris.
Brother Harris. Poor family sitting around the table. Didn't have nothing to eat. Said, God, we need something to eat. Every time anyone was sitting there, the pork chops come out of the sky and hitting their plate. Yeah. You said, that can't. Well, you can go argue with Brother Harris. Brother Harris was stuck out on the side of the road one day and his car wasn't cranking. He realized he didn't have no gas. Remember the story? He said, God, I got to get back home. I can't get stuck out here on the interstate. Lord said, get back in the car and go home. He said, I got back in the car and drove 40 miles back to the house, empty with no gas in the car.
Right.
Storms we've seen spoke out of existence. All these different things. We've seen pieces of it. But Brother Brown said, you wait till it starts firing. You wait till some sister gets all anointed by the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. And then she starts looking at her kids and saying, hey, that's what I want. That's the one I want, Lord. I want that girl in the church. I want that girl saved. I want my husband filled with the Holy Ghost. You say, you're talking crazy. Thank you. They're the ones who brings on this sixth seal. What? Two anointed prophets anointed with the Holy Ghost. Not manifested sons of God. We are the ones that are the manifested sons of God, where God speaks to us. But he will speak in 3.5 years through these two prophets. Look, they uncover and open it up. It's the power of God to interrupt nature. This is the power of God today, tonight, any other time. This is the power of God to interrupt your nature and change you in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. We cannot get changed like we are now. It's the power of God to interrupt nature. See, the sixth seal is completely an interruption of your nature. It's a complete interruption of the nature of the ball of earth you're standing on. But it's also the ball of earth you're living in.
Right.
And the only way you can do it is to go up to the statue of perfect man. That's why this is so ill taught. We've got to have these. We can't just say, we're God. Listen, that ain't part of the plan. If it was part of the plan like that, Peter had wasted his time writing 2 Peter. Add to your faith. Add. And after this, add. Did you get it? There's your seal. Who does it? It's the prophets on the other side of the rapture. He's talking about when we're gone. With the power of God. Listen, they've got the power of God, the word of God. They just condemn nature. I say tonight, condemn that nature you live with. Condemn that thing you can't get over. Condemn that thing that you're walking around with that you need to get rid of. Condemn it. Give it to Jesus Christ and let him take it and say, I'm done with it. Let him take it to the Father. He's not going to take it to the Father any other way. They can send earthquakes, turn the moon into blood. The sun can go down or anything at their command. Amen. There you are. There you are. See how the seal opened? Down there in the church ages, how it showed the martyrs. Now here's these two prophets standing here with the word of God to do anything to nature they want to. Amen. Listen, it's the same Holy Ghost that's in their mouth. It's the same Holy Ghost that's in your soul right now if you're born again. What's the difference? They've got one group to preach to. They got to get 144,000 saved. Listen, you and I got to get saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and anointed with the statue of perfect man. Anointed with the same. Well, you want whatever you want to say, manifestations of God, or you can say character of God. Because what is character? It's your nature. So it's disrupting our nature. See, what is the sixth seal? It's those two prophets. But you and I are going to have knowledge to understand this. Holy Ghost knowledge. Listen, do you sit at night and wonder whether this is right or not? I mean, do you? Do you wonder whether God's around you or with you or talking to you? Yeah, sometimes, because he ain't spoke to me in the past month. Well, right. It's your fault, not his. Right. It's you doing something wrong, not him. You can't blame God. Right. So the word knowledge, let's go through it real quick. It's such as belongs to the more advanced. And we'll get it, because remember, knowledge and wisdom is pretty much the same thing. Because Brother Brown tells us the spirit of wisdom is going to come back into the church in the end time. That's a spirit that's coming. Spirit of wisdom, all right? Especially if things lawful and unlawful for Christians. Moral wisdom, such as in sin and right living. Now look, so way back here in the early church age, we were talking about this the other day. We know one thing's for sure, that everything's so intertwined together. The false vine got intertwined around the true vine. Listen, this is where the separation begins. Right there. That just came to me the other day. There is your separating line. That is your untwining of the spirits that are twined together. Or intertwined, Brother Brown says, around the true vine. And we find these deeds in Nicolette. Listen, God, nobody but God can live this. Right. Satan can't live this. He can have his worldly knowledge, and he can have his worldly this, and worldly that, and worldly power, worldly virtue. Well, he's probably got a lot of temperance too. But not Holy Ghost knowledge. He does not have and can't get these virtues. Then thirdly, you add knowledge. Now, that don't mean worldly knowledge, because that's foolishness to God, but knowledge to judge. What? Judge right from wrong. Sit down and open the Word of God. If you can't understand something, say, God, you know Brother Jewel Forney, he was an illiterate brother, didn't go to school. He sat down one day and he said, God, he got saved. He said, God, Sister Vanessa would have to read to him. He said, God, if you calling me to preach, and if you calling me to read this Word of God and become a Christian, you got to teach me how to read. He said, he started looking at those words and he said, I could hear them. Bespoke. Because if you can't read, you can't. You say that word, but when he can see that the scripture is not contradictory. If you didn't know that, that's just a bunch of words on the page. Your brain inside of your head can't say, but when you can see, much less understand what's going on. He was just able to read words, and then all of a sudden, God put those words together. God did, not some teacher. Listen, all of us got, most of us got taught by a teacher, a natural teacher. But he got taught by God how to read. Amen? Well, who was that? Somebody the other day was telling that same thing with playing a piano. Lord, I want to play the piano. Remember, he said he'd give you the desire of your heart. Lord, I want to play the piano. Go over there and sit down. Whoever it was, and said it just felt like somebody was moving my fingers for me. And he said, then I got to where I could play, and it just became natural. What? That wasn't no natural teacher that taught him how to. It was what? A fulfillment of the desire of somebody's heart. But when you can see that the scripture is not contradictory, that you can say that and can see by what revelation the whole word is wrote in mysteries, and only the knowledge of God can reveal it. Why in the world, we were talking about this weekend, why in the world didn't Jesus just come down here and tell us everything plain, and then here we go. He said he spoke in parables and riddles and mysteries. To hide it from the wise and prudent. To make it where you can't read it like a newspaper. That way the devil could read it that way. Listen, the devil can't get revelation, folks. You and I are the only people who can get revelation. It's what God's really. Just like we were talking about. There was a new group or a couple of new people there. So we were talking about what happened in the garden. That, well, Moses wrote that. What? 2,000 years after it happened in the Garden of Eden. Remember, you had 2,000 years, you had the flood, and then here comes Noah comes on the other side, and then he starts having these kids, and Moses pops up. Well, Moses is over here, and he writes the first five books of the Bible. He's over there looking at what happened in Genesis. Why didn't he just write down? There was a beast that was in between man and a monkey, and he got incarnate by the devil, and then he laid down with Eve, and they had intercourse, and then a child was born. Why didn't he say that? To hide it from the very wise, prudent people. You know, there was a person there I know someone's going to see that. But there was a person there, not in a message. They told him about what happened in the garden, you know, like a year or two ago, and he called them perverted. He said, y'all just a bunch of perverts. You better be careful. That's what the Word of God said. The Word of God said that's what happened in the Garden of Eden. So anyway, so why didn't Moses do that? Moses wrote it in symbols. He said, okay, God's going to change that into a snake. That's going to be a serpent, but he's a beast. And we're going to write way on over here in the Bible, another prophet is going to talk about being the fruit of your mother and the fruit of the womb. And the fruit coming forth from the midst of the garden and all this, all these symbols comes together and tells you exactly what happened, but it's not just written out there. So God does hide it like this right here. The whole word is wrote in mysteries. And only knowledge of God can reveal it. Then when you get in, say, and punctuate it with an amen, somebody ought to practice that. Amen. Then add that to your faith. Brother Ram said the 70th week of Daniel, he says the spirit of wisdom comes into the church to make known to the church by the revelation of the Holy Ghost. Look, bringing the church in and revealing what day we're living in. Sure, we know we're living in the end time. Sure, we know we're living in the last days. But where are you at in that last day? Where are you at? Not where your pastor's at, not where the preachers are at. Where are you at? Bringing the church in to reveal what day we're living in. Just the same as Gabriel to Daniel. The Holy Spirit comes to the church in the last days to reveal these great, deep, secret things. Do you understand it? Now look at the word wisdom. I like this. The wisdom which belongs to men. Specifically, the varied knowledge of things human and divine. Acquired by acuteness and experience. And summed up in maxims and proverbs. Written in mysteries in the book of Proverbs. If you'll watch that movie Chosen, Jesus says that kind of goes over your head. I like that part. At least Matthew was saying he was reading in the Proverbs. He said, that's kind of deep. You know, the science and lure, the act of interpreting dreams and always giving the sagest advice. The intelligence evinced in discovering the meaning of some mysterious number or vision. Skill in the management of affairs. This is wisdom. Because, listen, I just read to you, the spirit of wisdom is to come back into the church. To do what? Teach us these things right here. Watch this. Skill in the management of affairs. Devout and proper prudence in intercourse with men, not disciples of Christ. In other words, how to talk to a sinner. That's what they're saying. How to talk to a sinner. Do you know how to talk to a sinner? If you're a sinner, you don't. Oh, you can tell them stuff and you can blind their eyes, but look, skill and discretion in imparting Christian truth. Skill and discretion. In other words, don't try to cram it down their throat. Have wisdom, have patience, and some temperance. The knowledge and practice of the requisites for godly and upright living. So it's a requirement. And you know what it is. You know the requirements. For godly living. So I'm telling you, as we get closer and closer up that statue of perfect man, look how narrow it gets. Some people can't live it that far up. It's just the way it is. Listen, in this day and age, everybody gets a trophy. Sorry, that ain't what happened when we was growing up. And that ain't happening with God either. It's a requirement to go up to the statue of perfect man. He's not going to lose you. But you don't get a trophy in the headstone. You don't get a change of the body if you don't do what God said. Well, it's the truth. That we come down to place to now to where everybody gets a trophy. Everybody gets 100 on the test. Everybody gets this right. That's not so in the Word of God. Brother Bram said, you either toe the line, in a way that you either toe the line, or you're out. That's why the little things that we preach on, that's wide down here to have faith, but when you got to live virtue and then live knowledge and then live temperance added to all these things, some people are not going to be able to control their temper. listen to what Brother Brown said. He said, you come up this way this far and you mess up. In other words, you fall. I'm glad you're quiet. Because this is not just because you're sitting here listening to this, you're going to get them. You got work to do. You got to overcome. I've got to overcome. We've all got to have that overcoming power. Take it to Jesus now and say, Lord, I need knowledge. I don't know what those people are saying. I've just now come into the message. Or I've been gone for a long time and I'm just coming in the middle of this ball game. And I want to know the plan. Listen, if you take that earnestly and honestly to God, just like God taught Brother Joel, it didn't take him 2 years to learn how to read either. It took him just a very short time to learn how to read. Because God was sitting there filling. As long as he kept that Bible open, God was telling him what those words were. For who can add or take away from the perfect revelation of God and overcome the enemy? Now, who's your greatest enemy? The devil! Nope. Do this right here. Don't you point at me. Point yourself. Look, it is that simple, though. It is that simple. There's nothing of such prevailing power as the revelation of the word. What? It'll make you live right. See, in verse 3, a blessing is pronounced on those who give special attention to this book. He's reading it kind of in the church ages there in Revelation. There, to he that overcometh. To he that overcometh. Not to he that just shows up. I think this refers to the Old Testament custom of the priest reading the word to the congregation in the morning. You see, many could not read. The priest had to read for them. As long as it was the word, the blessing was there. If it didn't matter if it was read or heard. Ephesians 1, verse 17. We'll stop here in just a second. I'm not going to get far enough, but I think we've kind of... We'll have the whole weekend to start on temperance and patience. Have patience, please. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. Now, he said, Brother Brown said the spirit of wisdom is going to come back into the church. Now, the Bible's telling us that he's going to give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Wow, that's what that means? Wow, that's how that fits together? Have a wow moment every once in a while. Wow! Listen, revelation should excite you. Because it's not to the world. They can get excited about ball games, and they get excited about this, and they get excited about that. But they can't. They will not ever get excited about the Word of God unless they're born again. Ever. And guess what? This will condemn them on the day of judgment if they are not a part of the Word of God. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance. What is his inheritance in the saints? To give you the Holy Ghost. To be a child of God. The word revelation is the act or process of disclosing something previously secret or obscure, especially something true. A fact disclosed or revealed, especially in a dramatic or a surprising way. Somebody ought to absolutely try that sometime. In Christianity, it's God's disclosure of his own nature. You are reading the Bible, you're reading the nature of God. And his purpose for mankind, his plan. Especially through the words of human... Through the words of preachers. Human intermediaries. Something in which such a divine disclosure is contained, such as the Bible. Brother Brown said, the prevailing, overcoming church is built on revelation. So we can expect God to reveal his truth to us. However, you actually don't need a revelation on water baptism. It's right there. It's staring you in the face. Hebrews 5, verse 13. Magicians, get ready to come. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful. And the word of righteousness. I was sitting there today and y'all kind of read that. Kind of something passed over me there at the airport. We were waiting to get on the plane and we didn't get our $600. They put us on the plane anyway. But anyway, we need to come on home. So you can't blame June. You blame me. I was a little slow. Yeah. I was a little slow. I'm sorry. I'm confessing in front of everybody. But when we were up there in Ohio, the wedding was going on, and one of the Brother Isaac's daughter had a brand new baby. I don't know how old, 3 months old, born in February or something like that. Maybe no, born in December. So anyway, 2 or 3 months old, just as helpless as can be. Just as helpless as can be. And I just stood back and watched. Everybody. I mean, you know, 3 or 4, if you're around her, you know, she's, you know, you don't want her diving off the table. You don't want her shoving something in her mouth, a candle. You know, they had their attention on her everywhere. She couldn't eat. They had to feed her. Well, she was feeding in other ways. But you had to do it for her. Baby. And she's just like, you know, if you stood her up and you let her go, she'd... Thank God nobody did that. But they had to hand her across the table to me. And I took her. And I held her up and I held her and I said, oh, man, I ain't held a little baby like this in a long time. That's Jesus is when he saves your soul. He said, I've never held a baby like this before. Even though he's held billions by the new birth, you're special to him. Julia was special. You know, there was a lot of people in that venue that never even acknowledged that Julia was a baby and she was there. And that she needed help. But her family, come on somebody. Her family was commissioned to look after her. And I became part of that family because I wanted the family to enjoy themselves. You know, what? Babies, you have to have their attention. I mean, they have to have your attention. So I took her and I held her and I took her over to the side. And just a warm feeling come over me. It was like, God, this is what you did for us. You took us away from our natural family by the new birth. But you held us as yours. And you're still holding on to us until the day that we can walk on our own 2 feet. And he feeds us, clothes us, changes our dirty diapers. Somebody say amen. I know all y'all got dirty diapers or had them. But he did all that and it didn't bother him one bit. And I walked around with that baby for about an hour. And I just thank God. And another something happened. We'll talk about it later time. But you hold that baby up there and you hear her breathing. Jesus, hear me breathe. Let me be so close to God till you hear just my breath. And when I cry, I'm right there at your ear where I can cry and get what I need. If I'm hungry, I'm right here. Don't put me up somewhere. Don't put me up on a, you know, don't put me in a closet or go set me over in a corner somewhere. Nurture me, Lord. Help me to grow. Help me to get bigger. Help me to get stronger in you. What's this? For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now, listen, this is not negative. This is where you got to begin. Julia is a baby. You were a baby. And you had to use milk. But remember, I'm not going to do it because I'll make a mess. But if you just took Julia and put her right here with this thing open, about this far from it, what's the first thing going to happen? Going to be a mess. But as she gets older, she's going to say, that's my milk. I want to drink it. That's the way we are with God. But everyone that uses milk is unskillful. Musicians, come on. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. We didn't take Julia over there and eat the pork that we had served to us and the mac and cheese. Now, one day she's going to be able to eat that. But she wasn't able to then. She was able to take milk. But that was her part of her journey in her life. The next part of the journey, when we see them again, maybe several months from now, she'll be eating off the table. Literally. Most of y'all did too. Eat off the table. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. Even those, look, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Discern means to separate. So we've come to a time here in knowledge that we got to separate. Let's all stand to our feet. There's a separation time. To make a distinction, okay? I'm just going to stay a baby Christian, and that's just all I'm going to get. Well, that's all you're going to get. You know what? The Lord takes that confession. He stands right here, and he looks at the Father, and he says, this is all they want to be. But Lord, take me as a baby. But take me to your throne and say, I want to grow up. I want to be a better, not a better person. I want to be a better Christian. Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. But the book of Revelation shows how that the Antichrist spirit would come into the church, defile it, make it lukewarm, formal, and powerless. It exposes Satan, revealing his works, attempted destruction of God's people, and the discrediting of God's word. That's a whole deal now. They're discrediting the word of God. They're discrediting this message. They're discrediting Brother Branham. They're just discrediting everybody. They're discrediting Jesus Christ. Right. Saying he ain't who he says he is. Right. And it's Satan. Right down the time he's cast into the lake of fire, he fights it. He cannot stand it. He knows that the people get the true revelation of the true church. And what she is and what she stands for. And that she can do the greater works. She will be an invincible army. If they get a true revelation, now true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of your body. Hello. And by God's spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless before her. Why was Satan powerless before Jesus Christ? He was that. Amen. Satan cannot understand how these virtues work. If he did, he'd be your brother. He does not understand how that works. So as we get closer to the headstone, we become more like the headstone. Amen. He will be definitely thwarted today as he was when Christ withstood his every effort to gain power over him in the desert. What did he use? No, he stood up and spoke the word and said, it is written. It is written. Amen. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Satan hates revelation, but we love it. With true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail. How many of us want the gates of hell to be tore down and thrown away? Boy, I do. Y'all, some of y'all already must have it done. The gates of hell cannot prevail against us, but we will prevail over them. Let's sing a song. God bless you. We'll get into the virtues Sunday. Let's sing a song. If you need it, if you have a need.
My sins that still cleanses me, sets me free.
Now we take that confession to you, Lord, as the prophet said. Lord, and now you, Lord, you're taking it, Lord, to the Father. And you're saying they need help. Lord, I pray that you'd give our brother help, Lord. Number one, in his mechanical work. And number two, Lord, in his spiritual work, Father. We also pray, Lord, for Dale, Father, while we're standing here today. Lord, that you'll bless him, Lord, and fill him with the Holy Ghost, Lord. Show him that he's wrong. Show him that he needs you, Lord. Show him that he needs to just cry out to you, Lord, and get rid of that pride and get rid of that self-will, Lord. And just, hey, Lord, it doesn't matter if you take him home, Lord. Take him home, Lord, right. And I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you'll grant these wishes in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Love you, buddy. Appreciate it. You good?
To praise him.
We ought to praise him every day.
Oh, the blinds apply. I'm walking in newness of life. I cannot fall, for greater than all the blood of the Lamb.
Sing it to him. You believe that? He's greater than all my sins. The blood that still cleanses me. It's the grace that still sets me free. To do what? Oh, to praise Him. I know the blood applied. I'm walking in newness of life. I cannot fall, for greater than all the blood of the Lamb.
Say it one more time before we go. Let's just praise Him for a minute.
Greater than all my sins.
There's nothing greater than the blood of Jesus Christ. It'll take care of everything. If you'll just lay it before the altar, let Him take that confession to the Father, and let Him be the high priest of our confession, that you'll confess that those things are over with. Whatever you have need of. Listen, there's death knocking at the door
in
every one of our lives. But we prevail.
Greater than all the blood of.
One more time and give Him some heart. We'll dismiss after this.
Oh, we're greater than all my sins.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
It's the grace that still cleanses me. It's the grace that still sets me.
Thank God for grace.
To praise Him, I know the blood's applied. I'm walking in newness of life. I cannot fall, for greater than all the blood of the Lamb.
Amen. Remember Saturday, 7 o'clock. We'll have prayer meeting. We'll just come and pray. We don't turn the coffee pot on. We don't fellowship. That doesn't mean you can't speak to each other. But you come here to pray to God and pray for the meeting coming up and pray for each one of us, all the sick ones and different ones. Just take a time of prayer and dedication to God. So 7 o'clock Saturday here at the church, we'll just turn on some soft music and then just pray to your heart's desire and let's remember the meeting coming up in a couple of weeks. If you've got friends and youth that you want to tell, please tell them to come on. And Brother Aaron, is that Brother Josue? You heard anything from him about bringing his group? Call him and see, you know, maybe in the next week or so, or next week, because it's in 2 weeks, and so we can get a number count. So, okay, all right, okay. There's a group coming from another church, maybe. So we appreciate that. We appreciate you helping. And we'll figure out what we're going to have this coming Sunday. But just pray that the Lord will bless each and every one of us. Take the name of Jesus with you. And we'll see you on Saturday or Sunday, either one. So let's bow our heads. Lord, thank You for this evening You've given us. We thank You for the word that we've tried, Lord, our best to give to the people, Lord. Now I pray that it will fall in good ground. And that good ground will bring forth fruit, Lord. It'll make a tree and then leaves and then... And then blossoms. We see, Lord, as springtime is approaching, we see the life coming back into the trees. Lord, I pray that life will come back into us. That, Lord, life will come back into the church and the song leaders and the musicians and the ministers, the pastor, Lord, everybody from here to the back door. Lord, that You'll bring, Lord, eternal life to the ones that need it, Father. Bring healing to the ones that need it, Lord. We pray that You'd be with us now in the furtherment, Lord, of this week. Be with us on Saturday and Sunday, Lord, as we come together, worship You, Lord, in spirit and truth. Father, forgive us of our sins and our many faults that we have against You. And, Lord, take our positive confession to the Father and lay it on the altar, Lord, and let's just see how that'll work in our life, Lord. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.
Greater than all my sins. Blood that still cleanses.